Om Ajnatvinandasya Ajnananjanashalakaya Chokshush Unmilitam Jinatasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vande Aham Sri Guru Sri Juta Parakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Nividam Tam Sarivam Shadvaitam Shavadutam Parichana Shaitam Krishna Chaitana Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shibishakam Vitamsha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 In that room I'm staying on the shelf there is some glasses reading glasses Viksham Chatur Shubaneshu Vigaryan Varchayam Shade Shabda Gadam Asham Klaptam Tushe Labten Tatavata Diksham Chatur Shurvaneshu Vigharyan Varjayam Sharet Shabda Garan Ashanklam Ashanklatam Tushyel Bhaktena Tavata
Tushyel Bhaktena Tavata
Viksham Chatur Shubaneshu
Viksham Chatur Shubaneshu
Vigaryam Vajayam Shade
Vigaryam Vajayam Shade
Shakya Karam Asham Plantam
Shakya Karam Asham Plantam
Tushyel Bhaktena Tavata
Tushyel Bhaktena Tavata
Viksham Charity obtained by begging
Charity obtained by begging
Chaturushu
Among the four
Vaneshu
Vaneshu
Occupational Divisions of Society
Vigharyam
Abominable Impure
Vajrayan,
rejecting.
Charet,
one should approach.
Shabda,
seven.
Agaran,
houses.
Asankriptan,
without calculation or desire.
Tusyet,
one should be satisfied.
Labdhena,
with that obtained.
Tavata,
with just that amount. Translation, rejecting those houses that are polluted and untouchable, one should approach, without previous calculation, seven houses and be satisfied with that which is obtained there by begging. According to necessity, one may approach each of the four occupational orders of society. Saintly persons in the renounced order of life may beg from strict followers of Vedic culture to obtain foodstuffs and other bodily necessities. According to Vedic injunction, a renounced saint should beg from the Brahmin community, but if there is danger of his starving, he may beg from Kshatriyas, then Vaishyas, and even Shudras, if they are not sinful, as expressed here by the word Vigaryan. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a Sankliptan indicates that one should not approach certain houses calculating, in that place I can get first class food. That house has a big reputation among beggars. Without discriminating, one should go to seven houses and be satisfied with whatever may be obtained there. One should beg for one's personal maintenance only from houses where the inhabitants, being sincere followers of the Varnashram culture, have earned their livelihood by honest means and are free from sinful reactions. One may beg alms from such householders. One must not beg alms for one's personal maintenance from those who oppose the Supreme Lord's devotional service, for such service is the whole purpose of Varnashram culture. Those who oppose Vedic culture pass laws to make begging by saintly persons a criminal act. They thus insult and persecute saintly beggars, considering them to be ordinary vagrants. A lazy person begging to avoid work is certainly abominable, but a saintly person dedicated to the service of the Lord and practicing the discipline of begging to develop full dependence on the Lord's mercy should be given all facility in human society. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that there are three forms of collecting alms. Madhukar is the process of imitating the bee who collects a tiny amount of nectar from each flower. In this way, the saintly person accepts a very small amount from each person, avoiding social conflict. The process mentioned here is asankripta, by which one indiscriminately approaches seven houses, being satisfied with whatever may be obtained. And pranita is that process by which one establishes regular donors and collects one's maintenance from them. In this regard, Srila Viraghav Acharya has described the initial stage of sannyas called kuti chak as follows. A man accepting the initial stage of sannyas arranges for his children or other relatives and well wishes to build him a kuti, or a meditation cottage. He gives up worldly affairs and sits within the cottage, trying to remain free from lust, anger, greed, illusion, and so on, according to the prescribed injunctions of regulated life. He accepts a tridanda, purifies himself with a water pot, and shaves his head, leaving shika, or tuft, chants Gayatri Mantra on the sacred thread, and wears saffron garments, bathing regularly, cleansing, performing archama, chanting japa, studying the Vedas, remaining celibate, and meditating on the Lord. He receives regular supplies of food from his children, friends, and relatives. Kuti chak sannyas. Accepting only the bare necessities of life, he remains fixed in his cottage up to the moment of liberation. (Clears
mukham karati vachanam pangum langai te girim jat kribatam aham mande shri guru dinatharinam. Srimad Bhagavatam is specifically given for humanity in this Kali Yuga to give us the guidelines on how to live a religious life, particularly after the departure of Lord Krishna from this planet. The sages at Naimisharanya were inquiring from Sudha Goswami, where will humanity get guidance now that Lord Krishna has departed? Krishna sva dham upagate. Krishna has returned to his own abode. Dharma jnana adibhi saha. He's taken along with him religious principles and knowledge. Kalo nashta drisham. Therefore, the people in Kali Yuga who are nashta drishi, their vision is completely destroyed. Nashta drisham esha. Puranak aduno dita. They will get light from this Purana, which is adun udita. It is just recently arisen and is brilliant like the sun. So like the sun, which gives illumination to every aspect of our life, here Srimad Bhagavatam is enlightening us on the ideal social system. And today the topic is bhiksha. This collecting alms and how it should be done. What is the principles? So the process of bhiksha, as we've been hearing the last few days, this is applicable for the renunciates, the sannyasis. They can practice begging alms, bhiksha. And also in the varna system, the Brahmins can also maintain their lives by bhiksha, by begging alms. But apart from the sannyasis and the Brahmins, no other varna or ashram is actually allowed to practice bhiksha. So the Kshatriyas, how do they maintain themselves? By levying taxes on the citizens whom they are protecting and governing. By levying taxes. And in that's a religious way for the Kshatriyas to maintain their livelihood. Land tax, their landholders, jomidar. They hold the land, landlords, lord, landlord, nobility, landholders. Even in our European history, this is the system. The landholders, the nobility. And they would tax. If not money, they would tax the produce. The landholders would own the land, and that would be given to the citizens who could cultivate the land, and the Kshatriyas, the landholders, would take a portion of the crops produced for their livelihood. And another way, taxes, levying taxes for maintaining armies to protect the citizens. So Kshatriya Dharma is there. Vaishya Dharma, Vishakrishi Gorakshamani Jam, by maintaining cows and sustaining their lives from cow products, milk, and using the bulls to plow the fields and cultivate grains. And in this way, the Vaishyas could live very sumptuously, happy life, collecting, acquiring, building up stocks and trade when there's excess. This is the religious way for the Vaishyas to maintain themselves, and the Sudras should... Is that Vaishakama Sabhavajam? Sudra Shavya. The Sudras, Parichchaya Makamkarya, by labor and assisting the other. So the manual work is done by the Sudras. And by working in that way, they are maintained by the Kshatriyas and by the Vaishyas and the Brahmins for whom they are serving and assisting. So by maintaining one's livelihood in these prescribed methods, one follows religious principles and avoids sinful reaction. Because after all, everyone in the material world has to maintain themselves. So how to do that in a way which is in accordance with the laws of God and not sinful is explained in Vedic literature.
And here also Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that for the sannyasis, the renunciates, they may beg alms. However, there is still some restriction and some guidelines on that in detail on how that should be done. Today we are seeing these details. Saptagraha. He can only visit, the sannyasi can only visit 7 houses. Saptagraha. For collecting alms. And, in addition to that, sankirtans. That his attitude, he's not allowed to discriminate. Let me go to the wealthy neighborhoods for my begging today. That is also not appropriate. Let me miss a few of these impoverished houses and impoverished streets, and let me catch up and go to where those rich people are staying, as is explained in the purport. Visiting the places which is very famous among the beggars, reputed among the beggars as being a good pick. So this is not appropriate for the Vedic sannyasis, as indicated here by Srimad Bhagavatam. And so, also one should be satisfied simply. So what is the purpose of this? We have to ask, what is the purpose of such injunctions? As explained clearly in the purport, that in this way, a sannyasi can rely completely upon the mercy of the Lord for his sustenance, and not make any other plan for maintaining himself. This is the religious principle for a sannyasi as established in Srimad Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself in the beginning of the 16th chapter, where he establishes the main principle of the sannyas ashram is abhayam. Abhayam, sattva shamshuhi, jnana yoga vivashtiti. That the sannyasis have to be completely free from any anxiety or any interest or any concern or any thought about where they will get their meals and where they will get their residence. So we can see what is the exalted level of consciousness of a sannyasi. Sat yati or sat nyas, that actually they have given up everything realizing the sat. Sat nyas. They've given up everything. They've given up interest, given up concern about maintaining the body. Nyas. This has been abandoned. This has been dropped. This has been completely lost interest in any concern for maintaining the body. Because they have achieved the sat. They have realized that they are not the body. And therefore, as explained, the sannyasi is socially dead. That means that he's actually already as good as dead. I'm dead anyway. This body is dead anyway. It's only jata shahi dhruvam mrityu. Death is certain. So, this body is an illusory, temporary situation. So why put any energy into this illusion? So they've given up interests about maintaining existence in the material world. Completely lost interest in that. Realized that is a futile waste of energy. And simply working only for that eternal, on that eternal platform. So, may as well die now. So this is what a sannyasi does. He gives up the further endeavor to develop and maintain his situation in the material world. If Krishna wants me to remain here, he will provide every day whatever is needed. This is classic Vedic sannyas. And therefore, these injunctions are there that even within the sannyas ashram, there's opportunity for maya to creep in terms of following these principles of maintaining oneself, that one begins to meditate on begging and increasing and developing the material facilities through begging. And this is pretty much the situation that we have in India today, where sannyasis and Asia, where sannyasis are still still present in society. But basically this is most frequently accepted simply as a means of livelihood. In fact, Prabhupada tells stories of some sannyasis that have families. And in the morning they put on the saffron robes and go out collecting, and then come back in the evening, take off the saffron robes and return to their homes. Because it's a good livelihood. And in Bengal we see many what's called Dari Sannyasis, that are family men. You see them on the trains begging and with, you know, a little harmonium, and they're singing. And they were there with the wife, and they're wearing saffron, and the wife is also there, and a big beard, and it's saffron. Bal Sannyasis. This is common to see. And people just think, oh, sannyasi, some lal, red saffron cloth, just give a donation and that's it, they'll go away, just give a donation. Let's say, just give a donation. This is the misunderstanding, unfortunately, that is there today. But this is all because everything corrupted. So actually, in Kali Yuga, Varnashram cannot be re-established. Varnashrama cannot be re-established in Kali Yuga. Because where are the Brahmins? Where are the sannyasis? They're actually qualified. So, and what to speak of the other Varnas? So, how is this relevant for us? Well, interesting. Actually, it's not relevant for us. It's not relevant for us. At all. Well, not at all, but it's not relevant for us in principle. Because, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains very clearly in his teachings, Naham Vipra. Nacha narapati na vivasha na shudra na hambarni nacha grihapati jovanashtava kintu prodom nikla paramananda punam ritadve gopi bhadu parakamalayur dasha dasha anudasha. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dancing in the Ratiyatra in Puri, he's singing his prayer that Naham Vipra, I am not a Brahmin, nacha narapati, I am not a Kshatriya, na vivasha, not a Vaishya, na shudra, not a Shudra, naham varni, I am not a Brahmachari, Nacha Grihapati, I am not a Grihastha, na Vanashto, I am not a Vanaprastha, Vanashto, residing in a forest, Jatir Var, I am not a sannyasi. Jati, one who goes, sannyasi, one who leaves, one who doesn't stay, he goes after a few days, sannyasi. Jatir, I am not a sannyasi. And what am I? Kintu prodnam nikala paramananda punam ritadve gopi bhatur pada kamalayor. That gopi bhatur, that maintainer of the gopis, pada kamalayor, who has lotus like feet, dasa anudasa, I am the servant of his servants. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identification, that we are not members of the Varnashram Dharma, we are servants of Krishna, we are servants of Krishna. Jivara Swarupoi Nitya Krishna Da, Krishna Nitya Das. We are eternally the servant of Krishna. And in the spiritual world, actually, there's no need of sannyas. There's no need of kshatriyas. There's no need of Brahmins. Because these injunctions or these guidelines of Varna and Ashrama, these are only relevant for the conditioned soul, who is conditioned and influenced by the modes of material nature. So therefore the Raja Dharma, the Kshatriya Dharma, is for those who are predominantly influenced by the Rajaguna. Kshauram, Tejas, Dhriti, Daksham, Jute, Chapa, Apalayanam, heroism, determination, power, Jute, Chapi, Apalayanam, courage in battle. This is Dharma, Krishna explains in the Gita, for those who are influenced by the Rajaguna. So you're in Rajaguna, so you should act in this way, that will purify you. This will purify you. This is the way. And those who are influenced by Sattvaguna, Sama, Dhamma, Tapa, Socham, Shantya, Ajamam, Evacha, steadiness of mind, cleanliness, practicing austerity. This is the Brahma Karma Svabhavajam. This is the duties for one influenced by the mode of goodness. But one who's realized that he's Nitya Krishna Das, he's even transcendental to the mode of goodness. Because in the spiritual world, there is no mode of goodness. There is Shuddha Sattva or Bishuddha Sattva, which means unalloyed spiritual energy or pure goodness, not material goodness. So what's the need of Brahmins? Because there's no mode of goodness. There's no mode of passion. What's the need of Kshatriya? What's the need of Kshatriya Dharma? So these things are only pertinent for one who's conditioned by the material nature. And when one realizes he's the eternal servant of Krishna and takes to chanting Hare Krishna, then, according to Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, Hiha Yasha Hare Dasha, One who's understood, he's Haridas,
Karmana Manasagina,
and who serves Hari with his activity, with his thoughts, with his words, Nikala Ashapi Abhashtashu, in any condition. Nikala Abhashta means in any body, in any ashram, in any situation, Jivan Mukta, Sa Uchite, he's already considered liberated from the material world. So in that way, actually, Varnashram Dharma is not relevant for us. So that's it, finished.
However, even though we have understood that we are Nitya Krishna Das and we are Siddhanta Krishna, however, the residue of the modes of material nature is still lingering
there, in the same way that you can empty a bottle of, let's say, apple juice. Empty out the apple juice. Apple juice finished. But still the fragrance of apple juice is there. And so another analogy Prabhupada gives is the fan. Fan is spinning. Now no fans for a few more months in Melbourne. Had a few days of fans. You can turn off the fan, but still it doesn't stop completely. It gradually slows down. So actually that is the situation of the sadhaka. The sadhaka. Okay, I know, we've realized. Jnanam jana shalakaya chukshu shunmanidam jena. We've been Dibya Gyan Ride Prakashito. The spiritual master has given us the Dibya Gyan. We're not this body, yeah? Eternal Sivana Krishna. Okay, so then we've stopped the fan, but still we're not immediately able to transcend the influence of the modes of material nature. Why? Because this body that we have is produced by the modes of material nature and specifically designed to fulfill our desires to associate with the modes of material nature. Karanam guna sanga. Karanam guna sanga sat sadasad yoni janmashu. Because of our association with the modes, we get this body. So the thing which was produced for us to interact with the modes of material nature, we still have it now. So therefore the tendency is still very much there for us to be conditioned by these modes. And gradually that will be removed by practice of Krishna bhakti. So what do we do in the meantime? So in the meantime, our Acharya, Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, he has shown us the example what to do. Actually, prior to the appearance of Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur, all the Vaishnavas, they were not in the Varnashram Dharma. They were in the Babaji Vesh. They were not even sannyasis. And just like our Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, you see them, we call them Goswami, but actually they were like in the Babaji, they were like transcendental Paramahansa Ashram. Paramahansa. It's Vanshi Das Babaji Maharaj, Gokusho Das Babaji Maharaj, and Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. That means Paramahansa. It means already Vaikuntavasi, Brajavasi, in Vrindavan. And doing Krishna Bhajan like that, like the mood of Vrindavan. Babaji, not even a sannyasi. But in general, the people in general at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also was a Babaji, accepted Babaji, sannyas. Babaji, Jadvesh, Babaji, not sannyas. But the people in general, they couldn't relate to the Vaishnava cult at all. They couldn't relate to it. Because it was just beyond the, you could say, paradigm, or beyond the understanding of condition of materialist and conditioned souls. It was just, they thought they were crazy, just crazy men, you know, pagal. And most people thought that Bhakti Das Babaji Maharaj was crazy, and Gokusho Das Babaji Maharaj, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, common men thought they were just crazy, you know, they were crazy, actually. That was for Radha Krishna Seva and for Gaur Seva, they were crazy. But actually this uttam bhav, this is actually is not so conducive for preaching, because the materialists, it's just, they can't identify with that. It's just... So Srila Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati Thakur in 1918 in Sridhar Mayapur, he sat down in front of a picture of Srila Gokusho Das Babaji Maharaj, and he initiated himself into sannyas. He initiated himself into sannyas. Prior to that, he was like Brahmachari, but even so, not really. not 10 years of bhajan in Mayapur. Can you imagine 10 years every day, more than 160 rounds every day for 10 years? Could you imagine what consciousness that means? 10 years, more than 160 rounds. And it was described, he had long hair, disheveled, and a long beard, and one lota, and tall, and he would run through the jungle, and they would see madman and jump into the Ganga, take bath, you know, eat some whatever leaves here and there, run back to his, you know, to his kuti, hold up umbrella, and again chant for 10 years. Bhaktisananda Saraswati Thakur, this is bhajan, nirjan bhajan. This is acharya. So after that, then he got the dream and got inspiration that Upanishatattva appeared before him in a dream and said, "Preach, we will be with you. Now you should begin preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So in order to do that, he once again came back into society, again entered into society. So in what way? So naturally, the most appropriate way for a Paramahansa to once again return to the society, or relate to the society, interact to the society, is by taking advantage of this topmost social position of Vedic sannyas, which is the most refined, most exalted, highest position of civilization. Vedic renounced sannyasi. So he initiated himself into sannyas and accepted the saffron cloth and began preaching the Sankirtan movement. And in the same way, he established the Brahmachari Ashram. So even according to Hari Bhakti Valas, the Brahmacharis, they don't wear saffron cloth. They wear white cloth. And they practice celibacy and serve the deity and worship the Lord, Brahmacharya. And the sannyas cloth is only, in Hari Bhakti Valas, the sannyas and the kalkin is only actually allowed for the sannyasis, those who accept that. Trinandi Bhikshu Sannyas. However, because of the same point, because of the same principle for preaching, that common people will respect those in the saffron cloth, Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur also established this Brahmachari Ashram, which we understand, which we have today in ISKCON, where the Brahmacharis wear saffron cloth and act as the assistants of the sannyasis. For what purpose? For preaching. So in this way, common people, they see sannyas, they see sannyasi, or anyone in saffron cloth. In India, common people, they don't really know the difference. They can't really see any difference. They saffron cloth, and that means automatically they offer respect. Even materially motivated, thinking that if I don't offer respect, I will displease Bhagawan, Lord Vishnu, and I may get some reactions. I may get some reactions if I displease a renunciate, a sannyasi. I will get some, if I displease him, I get some. So it's not really pure devotion. It's actually out of material considerations. If I displease or anger a sannyasi, then I will get some bad karma, bad reaction. Therefore, very careful, yes, Shamiji. Whatever you want, let me serve you, let me do some seva, and then I will get some blessings. I will get some punya, I will get some prosperity, some blessings from the Lord. So this is the mentality. But out of kindness, the preachers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, they take advantage of this conception to push Krishna consciousness. This is the mood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself accepted sannyas in. Because he was happily chanting Hare Krishna in Navadvip Mayapur with his associates every night. One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to the devotees, he said, "Brothers and friends, you know, we waste so much time sleeping at night. From now on, let us do Sankirtan all night." And instead of complaining, the devotees said, "Dajai, Haribol, Haribol." So from that day on, every night in the house of Shribas Thakur, the devotees would all gather there, and all night they would do kirtan, all night. And they would close the doors, and then the Nitai and Nimai, they would, with long, like here we see, we're worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this mood. Long hair, beautifully dressed, the prince of Navadvip. Dvijamani, the jewel of the Brahmin boys, Nimai and Nitai, And they're dancing like that, and they were dancing so beautifully. Could you imagine? Would anyone here like to see those kirtans in the house of Sri Vashtakam? Anyone like to witness those kirtans? Well, if you keep chanting Hare Krishna and serving Prabhupada, then one day you'll be able to enter into those kirtans. And actually, the kirtan and the sankirtan, the activities that we're performing in ISKCON, they're non-different from those. And it's simply a matter of continuing with them for us to be able to fully relish and taste and Tato mam tat tato gyatva vishite tadanantram. When we're fully Krishna conscious, we can enter into those eternal sankirtan pastimes. That will be that's our goal. So, in any case, those doors were closed, and Mahaprabhu, he wasn't actually propagating the sankirtan movement. He wasn't preaching sankirtan. He was relishing the nam ruchi with the devotees crying. And Mahaprabhu's body would sometimes, he would jump up in there, float like a feather in the air, and sometimes become more heavy than a mountain and crash to the ground, and the whole ground and floor of Sri Vashtakur's house would shake, and he would be hot, so hot, he would be so hot that the room was so hot, everyone was pouring sweat, so much heat coming from the Lord's body. They would put chandam here, we don't put chandam in, they put chandam hot in the hot kind of put chandam on the Lord's body, and as soon as they would touch the chandam to his body, it would make a noise like water dropping on a hot fry pan. And immediately dry and crack. Like that. Chandan Angadi. His body anointed with chandan. And the devotees would enjoy kirtan. So there's so much nice lila about those kirtans. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to inaugurate the sankirtan movement and spread. How did he do that? One day he said to Mukunda and Haridas and Nityananda and Murari, he said Prati gore gore di korohi bhiksha bhaja Krishna bolo Krishna koro Krishna shiksha. He said that hey Haridas, hey Murari, hey Mukunda, you go to every house and you knock on the door and koro e bhikha, you do this begging, you tell the people bolo Krishna, bhaja Krishna, koro Krishna, shikha. You tell them to chant Hare Krishna and to worship Krishna and to follow the instructions of Krishna. And then at the end of the day, you come back and you return to me and you give me a report of your preaching activities. So actually here, the injunction of Bhagavatam, it is there and we should know. But actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has a different mood. That we don't just simply collect from seven houses. Mahaprabhu said, Prati gore gore. You go to every house. Every house. Prati gore gore. Giye. Koro e bhiksha. You do this begging. Bhaja Krishna, bolo Krishna, koro Krishna, shika. So actually, the sannyasis who are in the mood, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not beggars. Well, actually, they're beggars, but they're not begging for alms. Well, they're not begging for maintenance. Just like we sang the song a little earlier. Radha Krishna bolo, shonge cholo, ei matro bhikha chai. Ei matro bhikha chai. All I am desiring from you, all I am begging from you, is Radha Krishna bolo, shonge cholo. Wherever you go, go along with the chanting of Radha and Krishna's names. Ei matro, only this. Ei matro bhikha chai. This is all the alms I am asking from you. So this is the mood of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That we're not considering ourselves sannyasis. We're not considering ourselves renunciates. We're simply considering ourselves the eternal servants of the Lord. And even strictly accepting the sannyas, ashram, that's not as pleasing to the Lord as is the surrendered soul who's prepared to do anything to satisfy the Lord. In the same section of Bhagavatam, is explained by Uddhava to Krishna to Uddhava. Na sadayati mam yogo na sankhyam dharma Uddhava na sadyas yas tapas tyago jato bhaktir mamojita. He says, hey Uddhava, na sadayati, I am not controlled by yoga practice. Mam yoga. Na sankhya, nor by analysis and this understanding what is material and what is spiritual.
Nasankhya.
Yes, na sadhya, nor by study of Vedas, na tapas, nor by austerity, na tyag, nor by accepting your renounced order of life. I am not satisfied, jato bhakti mamurjita, as much as I am satisfied by one who renders loving devotion service to me. Bhakti mamurjita, I become conquered by one who serves me with love and devotion. And I'm not conquered by any of these other processes, even accepting sannyas. So, the devotees of the Lord, they're not considering themselves sannyasis. They're not considering themselves renunciates. They're not considering themselves brahmacharis. We're not even considering ourselves ideal grihasthas. And simply by imitating or attempting to follow these guidelines, we can never capture Krishna, nor really make tangible spiritual progress. We should not think that, yes, I'll become a very ideal grihastha, and I will strictly follow, and I will enjoy within limits, legally, and I will invite the sannyasis and give alms and give donations, and I'm an ideal grihastha, and that way I'm making spiritual advancement. It won't work. Nor should we think that I am a very a renounced brahmachari and following strictly, and in that way I can make spiritual progress. It won't work. What to speak of, I am a very renounced sannyasi. And what is that? Abhayam. I never think about my next meal. I never think about where I'll sleep. Jnana yoga vavashtiti. I'm always absorbed in knowledge and disseminating knowledge. And as a virtue of my strictness in sannyas, I'm making spiritual advancement. All this is a mistaken conception. Only the thing that actually we have to rely on and understand is our process for making spiritual advancement is the Bhagavad Bhajan. Bhagavad Bhajan, which fundamentally relies upon Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, chanting Hare Krishna, hearing the glories of Krishna, remembering Krishna, and serving the servants of Krishna. Sakala Sharana Shrestha E Pancha Anga Krishna Prayama Janamaya E Pancha Alpa Shanga. Mahaprabhu says, not sannyas, not accepting sannyas. He says these things, these five things are the most powerful. Sakala, of all the things, Sakala Sharana E Pancha Anga Bhagavat, what is it? Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, associating with devotees, hearing Shrimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, Maturava Srimadura Shraya Shivan, worshipping the deity, living in a holy place. These are the activities that are most powerful for awakening. E Panche Alpashanga Krishna Prema Janamaya. Even a little, any one of these five, even slightly performed, can immediately awaken Prema Bhakti. So we have to understand actually what is our process and what we are doing, what is our identification, and how all of these different injunctions of Bhagavatam and Varnashram, how they relate to the process of Bhakti Yoga. Clearly understand that in our minds and practice Krishna consciousness in the appropriate attitude. Hare Krishna. Any questions on today's verse?
Our director of the Medical Institute in India, he used to sing the song, Naam Vasami Vaikunthe, Yogi Naam Hridayam Nacha, Mam Bhaktayat Vigayate Tattam Tisthati Nayana. I don't live in Vaikuntha or anything. I live there, my devotee is chanting my holy name. Such a profound knowledge.
Yatra Gayanti Madhavakta, wherein the devotees are chanting about me. That's where I am residing. Any other question on today's verse? Yeah,
Krishna. So say that this verse wasn't so relevant perhaps in the Kali Yuga. This whole version of Bhagavatam is spoken before the Kali Yuga, so it's running, so how can we reconcile those two ideas?
Well, there may be a time then when we can further apply these guidelines, as we just like, for example, here is mentioned that the sannyasi cannot approach any house where that are not following the Varnashram principles. So if that's the case, I mean, they're going to be pretty hungry sannyasis. In our situation, if they're not allowed to approach anyone who's not following the Varnashram principles and anyone that's sinful, they're not allowed to approach. So if we apply 100% as fundamentally here, our sannyasis are going to be very, very sinny fellows. So we have to understand what is the purpose of the discussion. That is that what is ideal society? We should know. What is ideal society? And therefore the discussion is going on here in Bhagavatam that, okay, on the topic of social development, then here is the classic ideal social setup. So we should know that. And we may not apply all of these details because understanding what is the purpose behind this, not niyamagraha, not that we, you know, every detail we simply blindly follow, but understand what is the purpose. And as is explained in a purport, this helps the sannyasi develop the dependence on the Lord and not even within the sannyas ashram become a victim of maya and become overly attached to begging and collecting alms. So that's the principle behind it. So we can see that through our activities in Krishna consciousness movement, that same principle is maintained, that our sannyasis are they are, because of their involvement in preaching Krishna consciousness, they're able to protect themselves from the tendency to become overly concerned again in building a house and maintaining their and begging alms. So the principle, we have to understand what is the what these details, what principle they are revealing, and then that principle is relevant for us. Although the way that principle is applied, it will be different under the circumstances, as shown by our acharyas, that our Bhaktisiddhanta Sahasrari Thakur, he didn't follow all of the, even though very strict sannyasi, he didn't follow all of the injunctions. Like, for example, the sannyasi should not wear shoes, sannyasi shouldn't cross the ocean. All of these principles he contravened with an understanding that actually the principle is higher, and that is to serve the Lord and spread the Sankirtan movement. And he would sometimes dress very elaborately, very elegantly. You see the pictures of him with a nice sewn, tailored coat, big overcoat, and shoes, and he would ride in a vehicle, and so many things. Yeah. So we have to, our acharyas, they reveal to us the principle, and in the same way Prabhupada revealed to us the principle, our brahmacharyas should go dadati pratigunati, they should collect, pratigunati, they should accept. But not that we just become collectors, but they should also, we have to give transcendental knowledge and collect. To collect donations in reciprocation for giving transcendental knowledge. So that we have to understand the principles, that's very important, and not that we don't read this section anymore. No, everything is there. And at the same time, we have to see, the circumstances and how things become relevant. And obviously, this couldn't be followed, only begging from seven houses who follow the Vedic principles, because no such houses are available. So things have to be adjusted, and our acharyas, they show those examples, they adjust. They show how the scripture, the shastra, can be applied, and the principles can be maintained. And also, there may be opportunity as we develop the society of the sadhu sangha of Krishna consciousness further, then this type of thing may become more perhaps applicable in due course of time. If we have big cities, just like in Mayapur, our brahmacharis, they have the upanaya diksha before the mantra diksha from the nam guru. They get the upanaya diksha and they get the pavitra, they get the thread when they're young. Before they get the nam diksha and mantra diksha, they get upanaya diksha, initiation into studying Vedic knowledge from the guru who's going to teach them Vedic knowledge, Shiksha Guru, one of the Shiksha Gurus. And our brahmacharis, they wear white and they come and they come begging for the householders. And so they weren't distributing books, they were coming, they had the nim tree. Just a few weeks ago some brahmacharis visited, they carry one nim tree, and they're there, and they're not distributing books. They just come going, diksham, diksham, de hey, diksham, that's it, begging alms. So then we're very happy to welcome the brahmacharis, and we're falling at their feet, and we're requesting blessings. We're the fallen householders, please bless us. And we treat them like our own sons and daughters. And it's very nice. So in a place like Mayapur, where we have a nice big city and so many devotees, then you know, we can. It's cultural. Prabhupada explains in the preface to Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a cultural movement. So culture means society and religious functions, and people can act together, and the different classes of society can interact with each other in this way. So in this way, aspects of this can be incorporated in our lifestyles, and it can help enrich our interactions and social dealings. So in that way, there's also relevance. Our sannyasis, they're carrying this cloth, you know, they're carrying this cloth. What is this cloth? This is called the uttari, this top piece of cloth. What is this for? This is for collecting alms. This is for collecting alms, this cloth, that's what it's for. So when we seek sannyasi, we should give alms, especially the grihasthas. If we neglect that, that is adharmic. So we should, this helps us associate and live in this material world in a religious way. And it's also the ideal format for us cultivating our Krishna consciousness. How do we relate with the sannyasis? We should be respectful. We should seek their blessings. We should give them donations. We're all devotees, we're all transcendental servants of the Lord, but still, in order to interact in this material world, we can apply as much as possible. We would say as much as possible. The Vana Shandharma can be implied, and it further enhances further supports our practice of Krishna consciousness. Die. Anything else today? 19. Interesting question. There's different levels of sannyas. So what's described there is the madhukari. This is the madhukari sannyasi who can go and collect a little bit. This is madhukari sannyasi. And then there's kutichak. So kutichak sannyasi doesn't go out begging alms, but relatives come and bring him sustenance. And the other one was mentioned, pranita. He can have a standard group of donors that he regularly visits, same people. So there's all, and then there's Paramahansa. Paramahansa sannyasi is not interested, doesn't have any, he'll have a Parivrajakacharya. He's travelling all over, always travelling, different places, never remaining in the same place. Our sannyasis in ISKCON mainly Parivrajakacharyas. Prabhupada was Parivrajakacharya. Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya. Means they're always going around. These other sannyasis, they may remain in one place. So there's all different, there's four different stages of sannyas. But the point is that that you could say, okay, so same as with the grihasthas, the particular, you could say, challenge is in the money, because there's always so much bills to pay, and there's never end to the demand and the requirement for finances for a grihastha, because there's always more money required. So that's the area that the greed. So their particular dharma, Prabhupada said, before eating their meals, they have to go out, stand on the street and say, anyone hungry? Anyone hungry? And now come to my house and take prasada. It's not easy to do. Because that's the whole core of it, is that out of this greed, and they want to have their own private kitchen, their own private home, and they lock the door, everyone outside and inside, I'm the boss and I enjoy. So that's the kind of the Maya, that's the area that's most crucial. And even living in Mayapur, surrounded all by Vaishnava Grihasthas, you never hear anybody calling out at lunchtime. You never hear that. Prasadam, anyone want prasadam? You never hear that. But this is the thing, they're greed, you know, have a fridge. This is the thing, because I've got enough for today, but what about tomorrow? What about next week? There has to always this old mentality of greeding, stocking. So therefore, what is the dharma for this, for the Grihasthas? Is dana. They have to give in charity. This is the main thing. So what about the sannyasis? They're also the area of that, that, you know, vulnerability is that they can take advantage of their position to also, you know, to enjoy facilities. They can take advantage of it. So these injunctions are there. I don't really kind of see it as a matter of ego and false ego. It's just, you know, that they have to be careful. The injunction is there that even within the realm of begging, still there has to be restriction. That they can't, you know, what is it, target, have a target audience, you know, where they'll get better results. That mentality shouldn't be there. And also, ati-ahar, they can't over-collect. And the limit is there. Seven houses and whatever comes, that's it. So that's the injunction. So that protects their religious principles. Not that they, you know, in the garb of a sannyasi, they start collecting so much and more than they need. So these guidelines are there just to protect their religious principles. Of course, in our sannyas and iskon, because we're not begging for our maintenance, that's actually a higher platform, but we're accepting the Krishna prasad. Whatever comes, Krishna's, all the devotees, we're accepting Krishna prasad and we maintain ourselves on the Krishna prasad. But, you know, we will collect so much and we will go to the places where the collection is better. Not because we're thinking, oh, we will get more for our maintenance, but because we're thinking that this is for the furthering of the Sankirtan movement, and this is out of mercy. Out of mercy we're collecting funds so that we can further spread the Sankirtan mission. So if that is the attitude, then that is wanted. Prabhupada said increase, every year increase. He never said be satisfied. He said, and Mahaprabhu, same mood, pratigore, go to everyone. Let no one not have an opportunity to be given some opportunity to serve Krishna. So that's our mood. Okay. Thank you. Prabhupada ki, Samaveda Bhaktavinda ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.
Shri Sattva Krishna Bhakti.
Prabhupada ki.